Ex-homicide detective Nico Doyle parked his red Fiat 500 under a cloudless sky that promised another hot day and followed his dog across the deserted main piazza. It was too early in the day for tourists. The tables and chairs outside Trattoria D'Agino wouldn't be set up for another 2 hours. The benches where the four pensioners sat daily to exchange their news were empty. In the far corner, Bar Al Angolo, open since 6 a.m., would offer him breakfast. One wag rushed into the cafe through the open door, nose immediately canvassing the floor. Nico followed, scanning the tables. There were only a few customers. Last week, at this hour, he had found the place full of students chattering with mouths full of cornetti, their colorful backpacks getting in everyone's way. School had since ended, and they were now having breakfast at home. The few locals who didn't have to travel far for work were standing at the bar counter with espresso cups in their hands, talking among themselves. Sandro, one of the cafe's two owners, was manning the cash register as always. He looked up. "Ciao, Nico." Some locals turned to nod their hellos. "Salve," Nico replied to all. He walked to the cash register. "How goes it?" "So far, the morning is good," Sandro replied with a smile. He was a good-looking, lanky man somewhere in his mid-40s with a small gold stud shining in one ear. "It's still cool enough, but get your fan out. We are going to fry today." "I've been trying to convince him to air-condition the place," his husband Jimmy said. Jimmy's job was to work the huge, very hot stainless steel espresso machine at the far end of the bar, and the oven that baked the most delicious cornetti this side of Florence. Sandro shook his head. "Costs too much. Besides, it's bad for you. Freezes your guts like that ice water Americans like." Jimmy shrugged and turned to start Nico's Americano. There was no need to order, as Nico always had the same thing. While Nico paid Sandro, one wag's nails clicked back and forth over the tiles, his snout a periscope sweeping left and right. The cafe floor was usually scattered with sugar-laced crumbs. After two rounds across the room, the dog sat and barked a protest. "Sorry, Rocco," Sandro said. "I swept. I didn't want those floppy ears of yours to get dirty." The Italians called Nico's dog Rocco. They claimed one wag was too hard to pronounce and that an Italian dog should have an Italian name. The dog wisely answered to both with his signature one wag, which usually brought good things. In this case, a day-old cornetto tossed by Sandro and caught on the fly. "Bravo," Sandro clapped. "No more, please," Nico said. The morning the small stray had led him to a murdered man, he'd been a skinny, dirty runt. 9 months later, his long white and orange coat was clean and fluffy, and his stomach looked as if it held a full litter. Nico walked over to his usual table by the open French doors and sat down, as he had nearly every day since he'd moved to his late wife Rita's hometown of Gravigna a year ago. In that time, he had slowly made new friends. Gogol was the first, a man who lived in a reality all his own, a good man with an incredible memory. Gogol's ability to quote every stanza of Dante's Divine Comedy was what had first attracted Nico to him. Having breakfast with him became another part of this morning routine.